one thing too that I want to say is just like acknowledge progress. It's not about having a perfect child. I mean, we're not perfect as much as we want to be. We're not, we never will be. And so when we see progress in our children, when we see them coming to us, the thanking them, the acknowledging that, wow, like this is hard, but we can do this together is helpful.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with our latest Family Time episode on the PSR podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. Family Time episodes are short, practical conversations to help parents feel more confident and competent in raising kids according to God's design, even in a sex-saturated culture. In this episode of Family Time, I sit down with Norma Q. Brown, who's our Family Care Director, to discuss the fourth of our six critical conversations for parents, dealing with temptation. We explore how to help kids recognize and respond to temptation without shame, emphasizing grace, honesty, and open communication. Norma shares practical tips for building trust, normalizing temptation as a human experience, and equipping children with lifelong skills for integrity. We also talk about common barriers that parents face and offer resources to support families on this journey. It's all about progress, not perfection. For all of our family resources, including our free Critical Conversations online course, visit bebroken.org/family. Also, check out the links that we're going to put in today's show notes for specific resources and next steps related to today's topic. And please, friends, would you rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it? Now, let's dive into today's Family Time conversation. Well, all right, we're back with Norma. Norma, how's it going today?
I am well. How are you doing today?
Great. I'm looking forward to another Family Time conversation. So, listeners and viewers, this is a relatively new segment that we're putting into the PSR podcast that we're calling Family Time with our family care director, Norma. And so this is an opportunity for us to just bring you specific highlighted segments for parents to help you just navigate the sex-saturated culture that we live in so that you can help your kids to grow up with competence and confidence when it comes to issues of sex and sexuality. So we have been going through what we in our ministry call our critical conversations. These are six conversations that are really critical for parents to have in an ongoing way with their children. And so, Norma, we are going to be hitting on to conversation number four today, but can you give just kind of a brief highlight of the first three conversations before we get into our topic today?
Absolutely. So conversation number one is feelings and emotions. And it's just being that safe person, being that person that our child feels comfortable coming to with different types of emotions. Conversation number two, God's design for sex. Just to have an open, grace-filled conversation where there's no shame behind what God designed and how He created us. The third one is preparing for exposure. Sadly, in the world that we live in, it is inevitable that our children are exposed to some type of sexualized media, some type of sexualized picture or image. And so it is important that we equip them so they know what to do when they encounter it. And the fourth conversation is dealing with temptation. And so this conversation is just to put it out plainly that temptation is part of humanity. It is something that we all have experienced, we all will experience, and it's something that Jesus himself experienced. And so it is important that we equip and teach our children how to deal, act, respond when they are faced with temptation themselves.
Yeah, and a little bit of the nuance and maybe distinction between conversation three and conversation four. Conversation three is really about saying we're trying to get ahead of what our kids are likely to face in terms of the things that they're going to be exposed to. And so a little bit of that is kind of like preparing them for maybe many things that are more external. I think you can still also be preparing them for the fact that their bodies are going to change and that kind of stuff. But a lot of preparing is about trying to get out ahead of what they might encounter. This one is more of like, hey, you are going to have things that are going on inside of you that are going to make you want to go to the right or to the left, right? It's going to be like you got a choice to make. And temptation is going to want you to go one way, and God is saying you were built to go another way. And so that's a little bit about maybe the distinction between conversation 3 and 4. So how can parents help their kids just recognize and resist temptation while developing the lifelong skills needed to walk in integrity?
Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that this is not shame-based, right? We want to know that there temptation is real, and it's real for humanity, for all of us, and that temptation itself is not sin. The way we respond is can dictate if we're going to respond in sinful nature or not, but definitely it's not one in the same. And sometimes it's hard for parents to differentiate, because if they see temptation, they automatically, you know, may think, oh, my child is sinning, and that's not the case. And so it is important that we have that perspective of even empathy, where it's just like we're tempted as well. So,
yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I'm thinking of is like, how does a parent respond when, you know, their kid comes home and says, hey, my friend showed me such and such on their phone or whatever. And they basically say, and I didn't know what to do about it because it kind of felt good looking at this. Mm-hmm. Right. And in other words, they were shown something, there was temptation there, and they may not even understand what was going on there. And, how can a parent respond to that without, again, bringing shame into it or saying you have utterly failed and you are a failure and, you know, there's no hope?
Just normalizing it. The reality is that's part, going back to God's design for sex, the fact that we're going to be attracted, the fact that we're going to have hormones and raging, you know, whatever it is, like all of that is the way God created us. And so it is okay. That means that things are working properly, actually. So if anything, again, it's one of those things that we want to help them and disciple them through it, but not shame them for them feeling even curious, like, oh, I would like to see more or whatever it is. I doubt a kid would say that to a parent, but the reality is that we know that they could be curious, or if we know that the kids go back to something like that again, sometimes we get angry. And it's like, that's understanding that that's temptation, and we have to disciple them and model for them what to do in times of temptation, not necessarily bash them and, you know, think that the world is ending or making it seem like the world is ending when this is part of their walk and part of something that they need help with.
So what are some of the common barriers that parents face in actually engaging this conversation about dealing with temptation?
Yeah, I find that a lot of times parents, when they have their own temptations or are harping on their own failures for things that they've done, sometimes that is, or even admitting that they have temptations, that becomes a block with that relationship with their child. Also, thinking that by you talking about temptation, all of a sudden the child's going to be more curious or more. The reality is that just biologically, our bodies are changing, the kids' bodies are changing. And so it is important to acknowledge that this is what's happening. Also, one of the things that I find too is that the parents are not balancing grace and accountability well. There tends to be a harshness, a shame-based, and I mentioned this a few conversations ago, one of the conversations where a parent is saying with words, I want to be approached this with grace and support. But if your child doesn't know you like that, if all they get is shame or control, that's going to be hard for a child to see you as a safe person or a child to be able to come to you when they are struggling with something.
Yeah. And I think it's so powerful when parents can just, like you mentioned earlier, temptation is not sin. So when parents can just identify, hey, I'm a human being too. And you know what you just shared with me about that temptation that you had? I'm very familiar with it myself. In fact, one of the best things that I think parents can do with their children is just remind them that they're veteran children. Like, we were kids once too. Like, even though the times and the culture and some of the external things around are very different from maybe when we were children, it doesn't mean that the fundamental aspects of what it meant to be human are different in any day and age. Correct. So the realities of temptation at their root are going to be the same throughout all of time and history, even if like the devices and the technology and all that kind of stuff changes. And so for a parent to be able to say, you know what, I know exactly what it feels like to be tempted, to go do something in the dark, to look at something that you're not supposed to look at. I get it. And that removes the shame so that your child can go, oh my goodness, if mom or dad can identify with this, like, okay, maybe they are safe enough to tell when I've faced that temptation. Exactly. What are some, go ahead.
No. And that avoids isolation. That avoids, you know, this is only happening to me, because it can become very personal. Like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm tempted again. I cannot believe I desire this. I cannot believe like that. The enemy can use that and create lies into your, you use the word shame lies, you know, and that can create mm-hmm. all of that, which can spiral out of control. And so it is important for the children to know that you're not alone in this. You're not the only one that is being tempted, you know? And so being able to share those stories age appropriately, it would be helpful to help children navigate this.
How does learning to deal with temptation in healthy ways, how does that actually develop like a skill? Like, and why is that important maybe to teach our kids that?
Yeah, it's sort of like a muscle. And it is important that we practice with our children and are encouraging them and are helping them develop the skill themselves, right? To resist temptation, even point them to scripture that God will not give them temptation beyond what they can bear, right? Knowing that there's always a way out and that God is providing that, and letting them know that it's not, they're not going to be stuck forever, letting them know, encouraging them through the process. Again, it's modeling to them. Temptation will be there. What to do, what to lean on, what, you know, who to go to. Like, we want to be that person, what to lean on, scripture, and just be able to encourage them that way and be able to equip them that way as well.
What are some of the kind of posture shifts that parents may have to make in order to really engage this conversation well with their kids?
Being approachable. That can be a tough one, because again, sometimes because us as parents have a lot of fears, our children can see that and can feel it. And so it is important that we're approachable, that when they do come to us or we see it, we see a struggle in our children, that we're not just putting our foot down and yelling. And we want to be able to disciple and walk with them and encourage them and show them the way. Our children will not listen to us if we're just yelling at them or if we're shaming them. You know, they're going to internalize. Kids overall personalize things, right? If a parent gets divorced, they think, oh, I should have been a better kid. I should have done this. I should have done that. And it's like, so our children are already feeling the shame of things that they're not even necessarily supposed to be carrying. So when we say, I can't believe you think that way, or how is it that we feel curious about this? When we have that posture, it's that is shame invoking. And so being approachable is important. Also, just sharing our story with our children is a way for them to see that they're not alone in this, and that we want to be able to point to them, Jesus. You know, Jesus, he experienced temptation. How did he overcome it? How did he model for us what it looks like to walk in freedom and walk in the true identity of who Jesus was?
Yeah, that's good. So what are some practical exercises that parents can do to really grow or engage this conversation well?
Mm-hmm. I like a little cliche, name it to tame it. So we want to encourage our kids to recognize when we are tempted, right? So when we recognize, okay, this is a temptation area, what am I being tempted about? Then at that point, we can sit here and be able to talk about it, be able to come up with ways that we can replace that temptation. And so just finding ways to be able to, you know, we have to replace it. We can't just sit here, oh, okay, we recognize it, and then what? But replace it with something, prayer, walking, a conversation, a text, any with a parent, anything like that will help. And that should be something that comes from the child, not necessarily when you are tempted, you know, and it comes from right. Thou shalt read the Bible. No, like if for them, it's like sitting outside is going to help them, then that's okay. Right. So it's something that they are comfortable doing as well. So.
Yeah. And I think that's important. And even in those conversations that you're having with your child about their temptations, and again, you creating that safe place for them to come and talk about these things, those are the kinds of conversations that you can have with them where you're saying, okay, so you know what you just faced is a pretty familiar temptation, meaning this is probably not the last time that you're going to see that temptation. So what do you think would be a good idea for you to do next time that temptation comes along, and let them give you an idea? And then now you can speak into that. If they give you an idea and in the back of your mind, you're going, that could lead to another temptation. You might want to be able to redirect them from that thing but don't do it in a, like a lecture kind of way. Do it in an inquisitive kind of way. Well, have you thought about maybe this being a potential alternative to that temptation versus going towards sin? So, but it's the idea of we're going to have a talk about it. You're not dictating what they do, but you're also saying, I'm so proud of you talking to me about this, and I want to help you because we're all on a journey as human beings to learn how to better respond to temptation. Me too, as your parent, I'm in the same boat. I face temptations, and you might even share whatever some of your temptations are. Maybe they're not sexual, but maybe you've got a temptation to cut corners on your taxes or whatever. You know, there's things where you go, and let me share with you how I address that, and this might be helpful to you. So it's all about the conversation. What else are some ways that parents can really lean into this conversation well with their kids?
Yeah. Also like practicing self-talk. So if there's a temptation, maybe having questions or phrases that can help us. I do this a lot myself, but it's like, if there is something that can help me. So many years ago when my kids would respond to me with an attitude, I would, I sometimes there would be like a self-righteous, like how dare thee disrespect your mother type of thing. And it was like, I just remember one time feeling like God was like, you do it too. And it just like really knocked me off my high horse because, and more is like, I've given God an attitude, the perfection, right? He's perfect. And I've given him an attitude with my life circumstances or the way I wanted things to happen. And so you do it too, helped me to just stop and pause. And when my kids have given me an attitude, like I'll stop and I'm not going to react with like, oh, you know, that's it. Get up, you know, whatever. It's more like, all right, how can we talk about this? How can we, you know, practice? Okay, let's say this differently and using those tools. But something for temptation specifically, just the question is, does this help me honor God? Something like that would be helpful to, is this helping me honor God? Or even using scripture, you know, God would not let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. Something like that, that I can remind myself and children can remind themselves that there's hope. There's ways of being able to shift things around.
Yeah. So what are some resources and just some next steps that parents can take on this particular conversation?
Again, we have Pure Life Academy online courses. We have Father-Son Accountability by John Fort and Girl Talk by Ashley Jameson from Pure Desire. We also have a journal for younger kids those are more teen books, but Just Between Us is a journal that parents can use to just help kids talk about certain topics. And there's a portion where the child writes and you as the parent write. And so being able to, that opens up for conversation. And so one thing too that I want to say is just like acknowledge progress. It's not about having a perfect child. I mean, we're not perfect as much as we want to be. We're not, we never will be. And so when we see progress in our children, when we see them coming to us, the thanking them, the acknowledging that, wow, like this is hard, but we can do this together is helpful.
That is so good. Well, Norma, this has been another great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And parents, we want to help you. So if this has stirred anything in you and you want to take some next steps on just learning more and getting more help, please reach out to us. That's what we're here for. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the PSR podcast. Take care. Do you get frustrated with porn filters that block too much or too little? Let me introduce you to Plucky, a new filter that you customize. Here's how it works. You set your own boundaries, deciding which websites are and aren't safe for you. If you're thinking, I'm not sure I can trust myself all the time, Plucky is made for you. It enforces the boundaries that you set, and it enforces them with steel, so you can't self-sabotage when tempted. Plucky puts your best self in control. People in over 100 countries use Plucky. Pricing is on a sliding scale, so it's affordable for everyone. For a free 30-day trial with no sign-up required, go to pluckyfilter.com. Take courage, take control, get Plucky.